I had permission to ask both sides of the family, the Tony family and the Morris family, Rudy Morris and the Tony family. My mother was a Tony. They gave me permission to bring it up here. Then my aunt, Angeline, she went to Shubin High School, and my mother and her sister, three sisters went out. And in 1996, for some reason, Angeline wanted to talk about Shubin. So she had my uncle's daughter, her aunt, to record this. And she talked about it. And this letter here, it's her own words, not changed. It's wrote it straight in the paper. We have to have this. And I want to make sure to listen to this. I can't read it, but if I read it, I'll fall apart. So I have to actually do it. So we read it.
I first went to Shubin Avenue Residential School in 1937 and left there in June 1946. I was 6 years old when I went there and 15 years old when I left. Mary, my older sister, was 8 years old. My younger sister was 4 years old and I was 6 years old. My parents did not authorize for us to go to the school. My mother, Mary Tony, was hospitalized at the time for tuberculosis. The Indian agent forcibly took us from our neighbor's house, Julius Stevens. My father was hospitalized because of a work injury from the lumber mill. He was hurt as a result of a log hitting him in the chest. At the time, he was working at the lumber mill in Escazonia. The most horrible memory I have of this place was my sister's death. Mary was sick and couldn't eat and was vomiting. She threw up her food at the cafeteria. And Sister Mary Leonard kept stuffing vomit and potatoes back into her mouth. Mary fainted, and Sister Mary Leonard flung Mary over her back and carried her upstairs to the infirmary. I wasn't allowed to visit her for 2 days and was very worried about her. When I was permitted to go upstairs, I found Mary had a fever, and I told Sister Mary Leonard. After that day, I carried her food tray up to her every day, but Mary couldn't eat. No doctor ever came to see her, and the nurses never bothered to help her to get better. Another week went by, and still no one helped my sister. I finally got the nerve to ask Sister Mary Leonard how my sister was doing, and she slapped me across the face. When I came to, Sister Mary Leonard was still giving me a beating, so I never asked again. A few days after that, I snuck upstairs to the infirmary to see my sister. I saw Sister Mary Leonard beating my sister. She had her by the neck and was beating her head onto the brick wall. She just kept slapping her across the face. Mary died a week later at the infirmary. They had decided to take her to Halifax, but she died before they were to transport her there. She died in December 1940. A week after my sister died, Sister Mary Leonard told me to get dressed at 4 in the morning. She had arrived for us to get the best clothing and 2 snowsuits. I never was dressed in best clothes before. She told the janitor to take my sister and me to the railroad station. The janitor told the station master to stop the first train that passed and to get us on board. The first train stopped at Shubenacadie was a troop train. We were scared stiff because we never rode a troop train and we were not told where we were going. There were soldiers all over the place. We went into the train and the sergeant cleared a spot for us to sit. He told one of the soldiers to stand over us and keep watch on us. We had nothing to eat since the night before at the school and we were almost at Christmas Island. That's when I found out that we were headed for home. The sergeant stopped the troop train and had the soldiers take a collection. They gave us their K rations and some money to help us out. We arrived at Christmas Island and the train stopped. Everyone got out and the soldiers carried a casket out and put it on the trolley. I asked the sergeant what was in the casket. He told me that it was my sister. That's when I found out that my sister had died. We were escorted to the station house, and a man there made a fire for us to keep warm while we were waiting for someone to pick us up. The soldiers also gave us pillows and a blanket before they left for Sydney. We waited there at the station for about 8 hours. A relative picked up the casket and put it on a wagon. There was a snowstorm that day. We didn't get home until late that night. We were lying beside the casket in the back of the wagon, thrilled to ride home. We only stayed for the funeral, and the Indian agent took us back there. When I got back, Sister Mary Leonard told me to keep my mouth shut and to never tell anyone what happened to Mary. I kept quiet about my sister for years because I was scared to death of the nuns at the school. After I turned 15, I decided to tell Mom and Dad of how Mary died. Some of the relatives came to get us at the train station for a summer vacation, and we didn't go back the following September. We were supposed to be home for the only summer. I told my dad what happened to Mary, and that we were told that my parents were dead and that no one cared about us. When the Indian agent came to pick us up, I had hit the boys in the woods, and my dad had his shotgun and told him to leave because they also came for Lawrence, George, and John Leonard. My dad leveled the gun to his middle and said, "Get out." That's the only English words he knew. My sister Mary was 11 years old when she died. She was beaten all the time for speaking Mi'kmaq. One time, Sister Mary Leonard broke her arm. When her arm healed, she could not bend it. When I was 7 years old, we were told that my parents died. I went around the school asking them if anyone knew my parents and how they were doing. One of the students' parents told me that my parents were alive. I never went home from when I was 6 years old until I was 10 years old. The time I did go home after my sister Mary died, I was about 11 years old, and after I returned to the school, Sister Mary Leonard kept punching my stomach because I had started my period during the summer, and she accused me of having sex with men. I received so many beatings, I didn't know how to speak English, and every time I spoke to my sister in Mi'kmaq, we were beaten. I learned to speak English to survive. We were beaten with straps and sticks in hands. We were punished with scrubbing floors, cleaning and waxing floors. It seemed that the Mi'kmaq speakers were doing all the cleaning because every time we spoke, we got beaten and punished. There were rumors of the sisters molesting girls and their father Matthew molesting kids. Some kids ran away, but they were later caught, and then they were beaten and placed in solitary for a week. One time, Sister Mary Leonard shaved my head with a razor, and did it ever hurt. Another time, I saw a kid have her arm being mangled in the laundry manual, used to squeeze water out of clothes. She was just a kid and was using that damn machine. I used to wash the floors with a toothbrush for speaking Mi'kmaq. I was beaten so bad that as an adult, I had numerous injuries, broken bones that healed over time. I had a uterus that was misshaped as a result of beatings and was not able to carry babies. I was lucky enough to be able to hold one during one of my pregnancies. I had several miscarriages after having one child. After a stroke I had as an adult in 1990, my doctor informed me that I had sustained several broken bones that had healed over time. He was surprised to see so many on my x-ray and said that he usually saw this type of injuries in victims of abuse or car accidents. I was not able to trust anyone as an adult, and I can't speak Mi'kmaq as an adult. It was difficult because my dad didn't speak English, so I couldn't talk to my dad, only my mom, and since they spoke English. As a result of my sister's death, I am unable to trust anyone affiliated with religion.